This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
H-Town, we are having a good F-Yeah Friday here at Christian's tailgate in the Heights. Mario, Ellie, and I till 4 o'clock talking football, basketball, bowl game, whatever you want to talk about. We got a Titan fan in the house that has absolutely no idea his team's eliminated. We've got a Texas team.
Yeah, they're shipping their cars home right now.
See,
right
there
now.
You go. That's how you do it when you're not going to make the postseason.
Don't worry about it, buddy. Been there.
Got a Texans team with supposedly nothing to play for, but a whole lot to play for as they try and figure out who's going to play the quarterback position and what they're going to do as they get ready to take on either the Chiefs or the Raiders in the first round of the playoffs at NRG next weekend. So, with all that being said, Mario, what are your expectations for the postseasons for this team? And what I asked the other day that I'd like to hear your opinion on is, from an up-and-down season perspective, coming from where you came from to start the year, as a Texans fan, what result is going to satisfy you with, it was a decent year? When are you satisfied? Because we know they're not going to win the Super Bowl. So when do you look back and go, that was a decent enough year?
Wow. To me, it's tough. Because me, as being a professional athlete, I play to win
right. All
the time. And a couple of great coaches told me there's only one happy team at the end of the year. But they had to at least win a playoff game and look good doing it, you know.
Yeah.
I think a couple years ago, they went pretty far with the backup quarterback. But they look like they were improving. They look like you mentioned, they were heading in the right direction. I don't know, was it Yates or – who did we have
up
there?
Yeah, T.J. Yates.
Yeah, so we looked like we had some promise heading in the right direction. But now, I don't know, if we win, it depends how they look. I don't know if we're heading in that direction with what we have at the quarterback position. So that's what
we're doing. By the way, you and Travis Johnson are joining the Wii Club. Travis has 5 Wiis, I found out. And you got 2 Wiis with, I mean, just on an NFL level, with the Texans and your Giants.
Yeah, you know, I live in Texas, so I got to, you know.
I feel you. All right.
That's my B team. You know, my A team is,
okay.
is the Big Blue, baby. G-Man.
And you can rate them. That's the JV, and I know who the varsity is.
Yeah.
We've got a caller on hold, Nick Lamont, wanting to talk about Tom Savage. What's up?
Hey, man, what's the deal with it, fellas?
What's up, Lamont? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, I'm all right. Hey, can y'all hear me?
Yeah, you got that smooth, you know, Budweiser voice there. Oh, you got that smooth voice there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm talking about Tom Savage, man. I've been working on this theory for a minute, man. And it's my belief, Tom Savage, Brock Osweiler sucks. Don't get me wrong. But I think that this comes back to Bill O'Brien and Godsey, man. I've been saying it seems like quarterbacks do good when they do not know that system. The minute they learn, when Savage came in off the bench, ice cold, he came in and he did his thing, and we was all like, wow, man, look at Tom Savage. The minute he got indoctrinated into it, he got a whole week of OBs and Gotsy system, looked like crap, man. Looked like absolute crap. And you can go back to Keenum. You can go back to all of those guys that just came in on the spur. They look good once they initially come in. But the minute he gets his claws off into you, And put in whatever type of offense that is he's running. All of them just look like crap after they get indoctrinated with that dude's system, man. And that's all
Lamont,
I have, fellas.
But, Lamont, let me ask you this, though, before you go. So, with that being said, you still got to know the system, and it's still that system when they come in relief, and they still got to run that. I gave Savage a lot of props because he came in and looked like he had done his homework and paid attention, because he not only knew what his check downs and his reads were, but he also looked like he was confident in the pocket, and when he got rushed, he didn't have happy feet. And that was the Jacksonville game. When he started the next week, that's where I feel you, where I said, okay, now maybe they're giving him – I don't know if they're giving him too much, if they're trying to change it up too much. I don't know what they're doing, but something changed drastically from a play-calling offensive perspective from Jacksonville to Cincinnati.
In Jacksonville, they was in a game of desperation, man, and they just had to air the ball out. So he came in there and he did what he had to do. Once he went back and, got taught a few more of the intricacies of the system or something like that, I didn't see this man with, like, 5 or 6 quarterbacks, the minute that they it seems like the minute that they learn that system, hey, I'll put it to you like this. It's no wonder Fitzpatrick, Hoyer, Mallett, and this other giraffe dude that we got, Brock Osweiler, they all look like crap up under that dude, man. They all look like crap. I'm not saying it's something
but
wrong.
But what if Savage looks like crap this week, Lamont, and then you look into the playoffs and go, well, I mean, I could say that I got a steaming pile and I got a wet, gooey pile. Which pile is better? But the one thing that I can say is Brock in Denver won some playoff games. He has some experience, so hopefully he's not going to be
panicked.
The bright stage.
Brock didn't win no playoff games. Brock didn't win any playoff games.
Regular season games.
I'm saying, but he's won big games and he's played. Did he play at all in the playoffs for Denver?
No. I think it was Peyton. Yeah, I think it was Peyton.
I just think as a flat out, you know, here's a guy in Savage that's just getting his feet wet, all in game experience, and now after 2.5 games, you're going to start him in the playoffs. I guess it's, you know, pick your poison. But to me, man, I'm just not real confident based on the fact that you got those two guys leading you.
Yeah, the only thing I'm saying is if anybody that's looking for lightning in a bottle, it's not going to happen, man. Your problem is on that sideline. Your problem is on the sideline, not with the quarterback.
I don't disagree. I put Bill O'Brien on the hot seat very, very early on. I put Rick Smith right next to him. And when you take over play calling because the play calling was too conservative and they had issues, and the play calling not only doesn't get better, it gets worse, well, then you're the guy that publicly said it's on you, so it's on you.
He's the one calling the plays too, isn't he? Yeah, he's calling the plays.
He's calling the plays. And then on top of that, you talk about, look, the owner is always going to have a say-so, as we know in professional sports, but between the general manager, the coach, the owner, whether it's three guys, two guys, everybody had a say-so in judging this guy on his sample size and then saying, this is the guy that's going to be our franchise quarterback. This is what we're going to do. We're going to go get him. He's going to be the guy. We're going to be better. They haven't gotten better. He hasn't been the guy. Someone's got to own up to that and say, that's on me or that's on us. No one's been willing to do that. Is that fair to say?
That is. But this is a tough business, like you mentioned. And when you're not getting the results you want, somebody has to pay. So it's going to be interesting how things develop as we move forward with the Texans. We're going to see how they do these next couple weeks. And then we're going to see.
Lamont, appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. The thing that I would say on that, too, is that's why I hooked up Bill O'Brien's wagon to Brock, because I would say he's firmly on the hot seat now. And if they don't do anything in the playoffs and this thing doesn't get any better, that there would have to be some hard discussions for me right as soon as the last second of the last game is played. The NFL guys I work with tell me you can't put him there because he did what he was supposed to do. He won the division. He got him in the playoffs. But the bottom line is that's complacency to me. You never are okay with being the same thing that you were the year before. You've got to strive to get better. You've got to take steps up. And when you don't take steps back, then you're taking steps. If you don't take steps forward, then you're taking steps back. And in my mind, if you're taking steps back and you've identified a guy that's supposed to be your franchise quarterback and he's failing miserably, I'll give you credit for bringing Lamar Miller in. He's worked out well. And then you look at the history of Rick Smith's draft classes, and you look at O'Brien, who took over the play calling. I've got more ammunition as to why they should be on the hot seat than why they should be getting a free pass. And the only thing I can say that goes their way is because the owner isn't big on confrontation or change. That's the only reason why I say they'll let him ride it out with Brock, who has one more year guaranteed.
It's going to be interesting. And, you know, they're doing this without J.J. We got to remember that.
Yep.
J.J.'s a fantastic player. So I would give one more year because I want to see with J.J. back and the full complement. And Brock got a little soul searching to do this summer. He got a lot of work to do. And we're going to see. Put him out next year. And you know, you invested in him, see what he can do. If not, we know what's the problem. So it's going to be interesting 2 weeks for the Texans. Hopefully things will work out, but like you mentioned, Joe, if it don't work out, heads may have to roll.
There you go. We got lots to talk about. You want to get in on that conversation or Rockets conversation or any sports conversation, 713-780-ESPN. You can text that number. You can call us up and get directly on the phone with us, or you can hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4 o'clock, and by the way, I want to tell you guys about this holiday season we all know we're in. Well, before the new year, if you want to be sleeping great or you want to be getting ready for the bowl games and all the NFL playoffs in a man cave that is set up with great furniture, let me tell you where I get all my furniture. our man Mattress Mack at Gallery Furniture. You know why? Because he has great deals on quality furniture and there's service after the sale, and he also makes sure if you buy today, you get it tonight. He takes care of his customers. He's Houston-owned and operated for years, and he makes sure there's service after the sale. He wants to take care of you because he likes repeat customers. That's what he gets because he never lets you down at Gallery Furniture. Three quality locations. Post Oak at Westheimer in the Galleria area. Also now the new showroom on Grand Parkway and Highway 99. Or the original location, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, both ways. No back order slips. You buy today, you get it tonight. It's Gallery Furniture. Whether you want a Macapedic sleep set, the Macapedic sleep set's right now, $19.99 and up. But with everyone you purchase, $800 Gallery Furniture gift card. You do the math. A phenomenal savings for you. Made in America Solid Furniture. Two-for-one recliners and all those Macapedic sleep sets. You buy today, you get it tonight at any one of the three Gallery locations. Just get there, and they'll do the rest. Pick out what you like. Know you're getting quality American-made furniture, solid wood dining room tables and chairs, living room furniture, and, of course, all the leather furniture for your man cave to watch the big game. And, by the way, they'll special order them for you, and they'll make sure it fits your room for your man cave. Leather, special order to Postal Furniture, only available at Gallery Furniture. As Mac likes to tell you, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker, back, barrel slips, don't pay for here. Buy today, get it tonight. Gallery really will save you money.
Hello.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Ellie till 4 o'clock, Christian's tailgate in the Heights. You should be here joining all these happy people that are celebrating their Friday with a little food, beverage, bowl games, and more. We are here till 4, then the Blitz is here till 7. We want you to be a part of this fine establishment where you have Houston's best burgers. You've got 50-cent oysters from 2 to close. Happy hour 2 to 7. Last time I checked,
happy
we're in
hour.
That window.
Oh, it's time. It's
we
time.
We are in that window. And you know what they say? It's always happy hour somewhere. Well, it's happy hour here.
Hey, start the new year early, Joe.
Mario Ellie's getting ready to do a little Barry White because karaoke starts at 9 o'clock.
Oh, karaoke? Oh, okay.
What song would you go to for your karaoke?
Jodeci, forever, my lady.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
Dog?
No, yeah, we're big on Jodeci. Big
school,
on Jodeci.
I don't know about it in Texas, but.
$3 shots all night.
I like that. Patron.
Can we call him the Kiss of Death?
Patron, yeah.
Get
Patron, baby.
Get a Mario Ellie Kiss of Death shot. $3 yeah. shots all night.
Yeah,
there you
all
go.
Night.
Nothing
all
wrong
night
with
long.
That. All here at Christian's in the Heights. You want to be here and celebrate with us. Have some fun. Watch some sports. Relax. It is the weekend. And by the way, it's almost the new year. And I, for one, will be happy as hell to see 2016 in the rear view and 2017 in the windshield because it has been you just look at celebrity deaths.
I know,
alone,
that's where I'm
people.
Like.
But
too
man,
many good people are dying.
I'm
man.
Telling all these people that have done anything in their life to just lay low for another 24 to 48 and just wait till we hit 2017,
yes.
man.
Yes. Good number. 17 is a good number, baby. It's going to be a good year.
Seems to me I know somebody that wore that number.
1-7, baby. It's a good number.
Marion, Justin, Josh, and Jeremy all waiting to talk Texans. So before you do, let me give you some ammunition. Here was the less than 2-minute press conference today with head coach Bill O'Brien.
I think there's always something to be gained anytime you line up and play an NFL football game. I mean, I think there's always something to be gained. So, you know, I think our guys will come out with good energy. I think it's going to be a very tough game. I think it's going to be a very physical game. But I think anytime you line up and play in the National Football League, it's very meaningful. That's how I feel about it. I don't really care what anyone else thinks. I think that's respect for the game. And I know that this is a very tough team we're going against. They want to finish with a winning record. We want to finish with 10 wins. And that's going to be a tough game. I think it's important. You know, I think that, you know, first 2 years here with this coaching staff, we're 9-7, these players, and to take, you know, a step towards a multiple win, double-digit win season, you know, would be important. So I think it's important. Yeah, no, I you know, our guys practice hard. You know, they go at it and practice very competitive, a lot of energy, a lot of spirit. You know, that's the way it's been. You know, those guys, they do a good job of that. The guy really appreciate the way our players show up every day in practice. That's been one of the things that has helped us over the last 3 years. So that's what it's been all week.
That's all well and good, Bill. I would really appreciate if you show up and win in the playoffs because the regular season's been a roller coaster to say the least. It's had everybody on edge. It's had a lot of H-Town angry for the entire season. And to me, the only way that you take a step forward is not taking a step back. You got to at least win one playoff game, and then you got to show up in the second round in the semis, or this season has been another wash, and I think everybody should have their butts ready to be spanked on and said, hey, someone's going to pay the price for this mess.
Well, let's see, you know, playoff football is tough. Let's get through this Tennessee game first. You know, I'm with Coach O'Brien. Feeling good, winning 10 games. That's big in the National Football League, which is hard to win games. I have big respect for that league. But you mentioned it, Joe. We need to perform in the playoffs. Super Bowl is here in our hometown in Texas. It'll be fantastic, you know, for the Texans, you know, to play the Super Bowl at their home arena. But it's going to take a lot of work, a lot of luck, and guys to step up and play better.
I think there's two things they got to do. Keep the Cowboys out of the Super Bowl here and then do their best to get there. But basically what I'm hearing you say is, we won the division, Mario. We're 9-6, Mario. Nothing else matters, Mario.
Anything happens.
Mario. We won the division, Mario.
Once you're in the tournament, Joe, anything can happen. You never know.
Mario. We're going to win the division, Mario. That's all important now.
You sound familiar, man.
Jeez,
I
wonder where we've heard that before.
Yeah, you sound familiar.
Well, there's some people that want to get in and talk about this because it's obviously on the top of everyone's mind getting ready for the playoffs. Marion, you're first on the air. You want to talk about the Texans.
Marion's gone. Let's go to Justin.
Justin, what's up?
Hey, I got something that we hadn't talked about yet is the offensive line. Until the Texans address the offensive line issue, defenses are playing the pass. I don't care if you put Elway back there or Big Ben back there. Defenses are playing for the Texans to pass because they hadn't ran. When your running back has 5 touchdowns in a season, something's a problem. So until they address that offensive line issue, Texans are going to be at best a first round playoff team.
Justin, we appreciate the call. Thanks for listening, man. Look, you know, Mary, you and I were talking about it in the break. I can't be too critical of the offensive line because Lamar Miller's yards from scrimmage have been unbelievable, but I also think that they've had to lean heavily on him too because of the fact that there has been so many problems with the quarterback play and the passing game. I also think that your quarterback doesn't help you much because when the initial play called and the first read is not there, Brock has proven to get happy feet. When he gets happy feet, the elbow drops, the wrist goes up, the ball sails. He does a lot of bad things with the football. I think Savage showed poise when he was rushed, even though he was hit a lot. So I get your point on offensive line, but I still don't think – I mean, has it been phenomenal? No. But has it been good enough? In my mind, yes. At least at times, I think, again, your offense is dictated by who's making – where the ball's going, who's making the plays, who's – throwing the ball in what direction, and the quarterback play has been just awful.
Yeah, there's a lot of other teams with bad offensive line. Not everybody can beat the Dallas Cowboys. Have them horses up front.
Right.
You see Russell Wilson with his offensive line struggling. He's been banged up all year, but he continues to play and compete. That quarterback, you just got to fight through it. You know, you always go to have holes. You always go to have key injuries throughout a football season. You got to overcome those things, like you said, Joe. Quick reads, at least more screen pass if you go do that to keep these guys off you from the line. Like you mentioned, Lamar Miller has to be big, and I agree with you. I think our offensive line has been serviceable throughout the year.
Serviceable is a great way to put it.
Yeah, and we just need the quarterback play, just need a little better.
And stop staring down receivers.
Yeah.
I don't care either guy. Stop staring them down. Savage against Jacksonville didn't do it, but he was a little bit more predictable against Cincinnati when I went back and looked at the tape. That's one of the big things. You talk about it from a defensive back's perspective. They're reading the quarterback's eyes. And if they see the quarterback locked in on one guy, even if it's just that side of the field, it makes their job a whole lot easier.
They just got to value the ball. That's the key to all the football games is turnovers. And we have too many. You know, Brock with the interceptions, 2 or 3. Every game he's throwing an interception. I mean, you can't do that in the National Football League.
Josh, you're next. You want to talk Texans. What's up, man?
Yeah, I do want to talk Texans, but I want to say that I love Mario Elie. I used to have Mario Elie's jersey whenever I was a kid and run around and scream, Mario, whenever you be.
My man,
him.
I like that. See that, Joe?
Yeah, hey, yeah.
I hear it, but the only thing that I heard, too, was as a kid. He doesn't sound like a child anymore. That means you're
a grown man. I'm old.
Definitely not a child anymore.
Hey, I still can shoot. I can't guard nobody, but I still can shoot, though.
I bet. But as far as the Texans, I always blame it on Bill O'Brien's complacency in his play calling. He drives me crazy. He's always playing not to lose the game, not to win the. You know, he's not trying to win the game. He's just playing not to lose. And he comes from the Bill Belichick world where he's like, oh, it's a system. You know, we run a system here. This is the Texan system. But the Patriots system is they adapt. Oh, this isn't working, so let's adapt. Let's evolve. Let's get people open. I've yet to see them adapt with Braxton Miller or DeAndre Hopkins. They keep running the same things. They keep doing the same third down plays that I see at the beginning of the year. So he drives me crazy as a coach because he's not trying to get better. He always says that, oh, you know, well, we're out here trying to get better every day. I don't see that. I see the same Texas team that beats up on our division. Good for you. You get 6 wins a year.
Okay, so if you say all those things, do you see him and do you want him as your coach next year?
It depends. No.
Okay, so finish that. Okay, so you said no initially, but now, like I said to people, what is going to be a satisfying season for you in terms of a finish? And we all know they're not going to win the Super Bowl, but what would change your mind? What would you say is enough to keep him for another year?
Here's the problem. I think in the AFC, it's like playing in the West in the NBA. There are powerhouses. The Patriots, who's going to be able to take them down? So you kind of have to change everything up. It sucks, but you have to go into a draft and say, okay, maybe we do need to completely rehaul things. And if Brock Osweiler was a loss, take it on the chin and start over. Because if this isn't going to win, I'm not about just going into the playoffs and losing in the first or second round. If you want to take down the big dogs, then you got to go and get what can beat them, which is defense, which we have the beginning of, and an offensive line.
Josh, great call. We appreciate it. We're going to get to the responses to that in just a few minutes, but a great call. Don't be a stranger. Come on back. Talk some more football with us because Mario knows football. I know football. We love football. And evidently everybody in this state and this city does too because it is a football city and a football state.
Baby.
But you know what? What goes good with football are wins. And wins are good in the regular season. They're even better in the playoffs. That's where it starts and ends with me. I've already told you, I think both guys up there between the coach and the general manager are on the hot seat already. But they got to show me something come playoff time, or I think changes should be about.
Hey, it's happy hour. Come on by and hang out with me and Joe. Great point, Joe. Happy
Mario,
hour, baby.
Mario
happy
doing
hour.
A little extra plug for Christian's tailgate in the
hour.
Height. Come back. Come on by and see us. Mario's taking pictures, kissing babies, signing balls. Basketballs, that is.
Man, ain't no babies
hey,
up in here,
doing all kinds of stuff. We're here till 4 o'clock. We're ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, Joel Blank, Mario Ellie till 4 o'clock here at Christian's tailgate in the Heights on White Oak. You want to come out and be a part of the show? We want you a part of the show. There's all kinds of drink specials. There's the best burgers in Houston. And there's bowl games. There's Mario Ellie. I mean, enough said.
Roll Tide, baby. Roll Tide.
I don't know where that came from, but that's not going to make a lot of people happy. We got the TCU contingent is here.
Hey, they're playing already, buddy. They're
playing
already.
George. I understand that. Tonight we got Florida State, Michigan. We got $3 shots all night. Happy hour is right now till 7 o'clock. 50-cent oysters. 2 to close. Lots of reasons to be here. The Blitz will be here on ESPN from 4 to 7. So a lot of reasons to come on out and join the show. But before the break, we were talking about the Houston Texans, and this just in from practice. Ruled out for the game against Tennessee, Jadeveon Clowney, Lamar Miller, John Simon, Jay Prosh. So basically the Texans are going to take it safe and make sure that those that they are going to really rely on come playoff time are going to be ready come playoff time. So those guys dinged up will not play. That means more playing time for the likes of Blue in the backfield. Lamar Miller being out means Blue's going to play. Clowney being out means the defense a little different. Simon is a guy that I loved all year and the way he flies around. You need him come playoff time, so I understand it as well. And your fullback, Prosh, is out. Running game may be a little bit suspect because of some of the guys that are missing. But, again, you're in no matter what. just let me see what I can get. Give me some protection and let me see what I get out of Tom Savage, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, he needs a little momentum going into the playoffs. Wasn't impressed with his last performance. He got the start out the way, so this is a very important start for him. He needs to perform, gain a little confidence, and get ready for the playoffs. So like you mentioned, Joe, just like in basketball, in football it's the same way. Playoff football is different.
You know, it's a different animal, man.
Exactly. The intensity level, every possession is key, every handoff, every touch of the ball, everything is magnified in the playoffs. You got to be mentally and physically prepared for a battle on both sides of the ball.
Jeremy, you want to get on this, talk about George Gotze? What's up?
Man, I was just wondering, if Bill O'Brien's calling the plays, what is George Gotze really doing? And if so, why is he there? And is there anybody out there we can bring in that can make a difference next year? That was my question. I'll hang up and listen.
Great question, Jeremy. Here's what I'll say. Short answer, North Turner. Done deal. All right, you want an offensive coordinator that really proven himself as a quarterback whisperer that might be able to salvage something off the scrap heap from a guy that you have to keep next year in Brock Osweiler? Go get North Turner. In terms of what George Gotze does, Green Bay uses a similar setup in the fact that Mike McCarthy was calling plays. He left it to Edgar Bennett and others. He's taking it back now. Bill O'Brien said as much. He said, I make the final decision, but it's a committee that makes the play calling calls from call to call when they're on the headsets. I don't care who's doing what, but someone's not doing enough because it's predictable, it's conservative, and it's boring, and it's not effective regardless. Look, if they were pounding the football, we were talking to a fan from Tennessee in the last break. The bottom line is Tennessee runs the football. If you know what you do well and you do it well, it's on the defense to stop you. And if you can't, that's on you. It's just like we talk about in basketball. If the difference between the Clippers and the Warriors right now, when the Warriors' threes aren't falling, they're going to attack the basket. They're going to go and get in the post. They're going to get you baskets in the paint, and they're going to win ball games. The Clippers, when the threes aren't falling, they keep shooting threes, and they don't win games. It's why the Rockets need to learn how to finish the same way when the three ball's not falling. From a football perspective, it's the same thing. If you do one thing and do it well, keep doing it. We know the Texans' defense is good, but they don't score points, and they don't do it with the ball in their hands. Therefore, you know your running back has done a good job this year, but he's done it instead of pounding the ball by being a scat back, by being able to get out in the wheel route, catch some passes out of the backfield. He's huge. But there's enough weapons around you that you should be able to do other things to open up this offense. You had guys all year with Fuller, with an underused DeAndre Hopkins because you try to force the ball where you can't get it in and there's not enough opportunities for him. Although with Savage against Jacksonville, he looked better. You lose a guy like Miller in the slot that was big and a young receiver. But the tight ends have been good.
Exactly. I was about to say we got good tight ends. Yeah. What's his name? I can't even pronounce his name. What's his name?
Fedorowicz has been good. Anderson has been good. You know, there's lots of guys that have stepped up. The biggest thing that it all comes back to is whether you say it's just the quarterback or it's the plays being called and the way they're being executed has to change. You've got a free play. You got a game against Tennessee, against NFL competition, where you can try and iron some things out. Try and see what you can open up and do. You got nothing to lose. Open it up. And if it doesn't work, then realize, okay, in the playoffs we have to go back to being conservative, but we'll focus on the run game. If you do see some things that do work, now you've got something to work with as you prepare for the playoffs in round one.
Play too cautious. You can't play cautious. You got, like you said, Joe, you got to let loose. You got to let this guy see what he can do. You know, you want these guys to be able to check at the line instead of having a hand in their bag. You got to do this. Let these guys sometimes make decisions on their own. Let them read a little bit better. Let them throw down the field a little bit more. We got fast receivers. We got a good tight end that we can hit over the middle. So we got to –
Couple of good tight ends.
Yeah, we got to let the leash off a little bit and let the reins off. And let Savage, he has a live arm. Let him throw it down the field a couple of times. And in the quarterback's defense – DeAndre got to do a better job of, as a number one receiver, getting off blocks and getting open and coming back to the ball. There's some tough balls that sometimes I feel he doesn't play.
And I said all year with Brock, 50-50 balls with DeAndre's big hands and is available to create some space, he normally comes down with. But when they're 30-70 balls and they're not thrown in the right place either,
true that,
it makes it that much more difficult. Plus, everybody knows the offense starts with DeAndre Hopkins if you're going to do anything in the air. So he's facing double teams. The best way you get rid of him on double teams or you open up options for him is the other guys have to step up. Therefore, you have to look their way. I didn't see Brock doing that. I did see Savage do a better job of sharing the ball around the field
in
the Jacksonville game. You were there for the Cincinnati game. I don't know why they saw what worked against Jacksonville and took a step back in Cincinnati, but I didn't like the play calling in Cincinnati. I thought it was even more conservative than the Jacksonville
game. Very conservative. I think they just wanted to win that game. Okay, now you won the game. You clinched the playoff spot. You must take chances in the playoffs.
Thought it was interesting what a caller said a while back, which is I've been saying forever. You can't play not to lose.
Exactly.
You have to play to win.
What did Herm Edwards say? You play to win the game.
Exactly.
That's why you play.
That's every game. And so in a game where you don't have to play to win the game this week against Tennessee, figure it out.
Yeah.
Take some chances. Open it up.
Take some chances. You want to win even though. Take some chances. See if some things go to work. This boy got a live arm. We need to get it down the field. Like you mentioned, Joe, we got Fuller, we got Hopkins, we got guys who can get up and down the field. And we're going to have to score some points. We can't totally depend on the defense for getting us good field position or happen to get a fumble and take it into the end zone, which will be big for us. But our offense got to be better for us to do anything in the playoffs.
This team has struggled to score 20 points. Dare I say, that's like their goal that they can't reach, the unattainable goal. They have to score 20 points in the playoffs in order to be, they can't rely that much on the defense, and teams are too good come playoff time. Kyle, you want to get in here before we hit a break? Kyle, what's up?
How's it going?
Good, man.
Y'all were talking about stuff you can take away that was good this year. I can say maybe the tight end play was really good. The defense was, and their ability to win games and playing absolutely terrible throughout the whole year, all on their defense, really, that's the only reason. But there are some things I thought, I don't know. I was wondering what y'all thought that you could take away out of this year that was pretty good, and I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate the call, Kyle. Look, I mean, this is the number one ranked defense in the NFL, and that's with Jadavian in and out, Simon in and out, J.J. out for the whole year, J.J.O. in and out, Johnson out, Kareem's been in and out, and yet they find ways to win. Romeo Crennel should be back no matter what, should get a raise. He's done his job and then some. The defense, and we talked about this early in the season, Travis
Joe,
Johnson.
Joe, you preaching right now, bro. Yeah. He's doing a great job.
And Travis Johnson, who played defense his whole career, said, look, they could have gone one or two ways when J.J. went out. They could have went south because the best defensive player in the league is gone. Or it could have galvanized everybody to come together because they know that instead of just knowing that 99 is going to take care of his business and standing around and watching, they all could come together as a unit to be better. They've done that. So it's not the defense that's done anything wrong, and I love what they've been able to do to patch up the holes week to week, put another guy in there, next man up, rack, which is what they call Romeo Crennel, phenomenal job. Offensively, it's where all the problems lie.
Yep.
Everybody's been trying to come up with the solution, the potion, call it what you will, but it's a little late in the game to be in this position, but you are there. Now do something with it. You have one game and one week to prepare. Use this game against somebody else to try and figure out what you have, what you can do, and then get ready to get it done. Otherwise, I'm telling you, everybody's butts should be ready for review.
Yep, and I want to give it up to the defense also. I want to give it up to Javanian Clowney, being the number one pick, having all this pressure, being nicked up, and everybody's saying he's a bust. This dude came out and performed, and the stuff he's doing now that he's hurt, he's getting in the backfield. His instincts is just outstanding. The way he gets off the ball and off the blocks, this guy is so quick, strong, and athletic. Very proud of him for being in the Pro Bowl. You know, only guy who was selected for the Texans for the Pro Bowl. Well deserved. I think it wasn't a blessing. I would kind of wish we had J.J., but J.J. being out allowed Clowney to be the leader of that defense, and he led them. Merciless. Came on strong.
Cushing.
Our DB. Cushing's been always solid.
Yep.
It's good to see him healthy. Very excited about our defense going forward, especially with J.J. coming back. But like you said, we got to get better on the O side, get a couple O linemen. Hopefully the quarterback play get better. Never know what we'll get in the draft. Hopefully we'll get a diamond in the rough. But
well, you can call me Alphabet Jones if you want. But the D is capitalized, but it's a 25-letter alphabet, and there's no O in it right now.
No.
They got to figure it out before the postseason. We'll hope that they can do that against Tennessee. Hey, it's Mario. It's Joel. We're at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights till 4 o'clock, and then the Blitz takes over till 7. If you want to be a part of the show, 713-780-ESPN, or hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN. ESPN. 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Christian's tailgate on White Oak. Here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Baby.
Only till 4 o'clock here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. A great group. Gary, my favorite red rowdy over there, celebrating a little bit of fun and sports here at Christian's Tailgate in the Heights. You guys should be here too. In order to join us, all you got to do is get in the car or walk or, you know, just Uber. There you go. The TCU fans know that they can indulge in more adult beverages if they use Uber. Well, you should too. Get the Uber, get down here, watch some bowl games, drink some beer, have some great, great, great food. Best burgers in Houston, without a doubt. Mario, you've sampled the cuisine, and you can attest firsthand this is a phenomenal place to eat, drink, and watch sports.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
If Mario gets the seal of approval, then you know it gets the kiss of life instead of the kiss of death.
Exactly.
Christian's Tailgate. Doing it well and hosting us here today. We're happy to be here. We're here till 4, then the Blitz is here till 7 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to sit here and talk sports with you. So you can reach us, 713-780-ESPN, or you can hit us up on Twitter as we're watching tweets. Nick is monitoring the phone lines. Nick, I haven't checked text messages. That's normally Barry's job. I don't know if you've looked at those yet, but we've got some other stories to get to and talk about, some things I wanted to run by you, Mario. We talked about the Rockets earlier. LeBron gave himself an F last night. Cavs were up 20 against Boston. Blew the lead, won the game, but he says to his teammates after the game, I give myself an F, I let you down, it won't happen again. I wanted to get your opinion because it's something that we talked about during the course of the week with the Cavaliers. Seems to me, at least for the regular season, LeBron has said, Kyrie, I'm getting you ready for the postseason, and I'm taking a little weight off my shoulders. You're going to be the man. I'm still going to be right there with you. But I want to get you ready because postseason, we're both going to be at our best. Early in the season, in the games that I've watched, and you know I watch a lot of games, when they need a bucket or they need a go-to play, Kyrie's been the guy, and he hasn't let them down. I think that can only help Cleveland as they get ready for the playoffs.
First and foremost, Kyrie's a better offensive player than LeBron James.
Stop. Say that again for the audience so that Kyrie Irving
is a better scorer than LeBron James. Simple as that.
He's a better shooter. He's a better offensive player. I wanted to hear
that.
He is.
Even though he can't post up, who creates the shots at the end of the game? He does. He can get his own. Granted, LeBron can get his own shot.
May I rewind just a little further and say, who hit the big shot against Golden State, the big three, when they needed it?
Yes, LeBron hit the one the other night,
Kyrie
too.
Irving.
Kyrie.
The step back Kyrie in the lane.
Kyrie's a phenomenal talent. We know LeBron James is an outstanding player.
Right.
LeBron is outstanding because he does everything. He does everything. He's a great defender. He's a great playmaker. I love his basketball IQ. I mean, he's probably one of the – him and James Harden, to me, are some of the smartest guys on the floor, the way they see the floor and the game. But Uncle Drew, man, that's his nickname. Uncle Drew get buckets, man. That's what he does.
Yeah.
The handle, he has the three, he has the mid-range game. He finishes with both hands. You can count on him if he gets fouled. He's an 85-plus, 90% free throw shooter. He's an outstanding offensive talent. You telling me that guy that plays seven games at Duke with a broken foot – still comes out to be the number one player in the draft. That's saying a lot about that kid. And he has the right leader and mentor, like you mentioned, Joe. He's getting him ready. LeBron eventually is going to take a back seat, and Kyrie's going to take over the keys to the car. You sort of see the transition. I saw it when I was playing with the Spurs, when David Robinson sort of handed Tim Duncan the keys to the Bentley and said, it's yours now, son. I sort of see that dynamic with LeBron and Kyrie because LeBron done put in his work, a lot of minutes, a lot of games. He needs help. He has the right sidekick to help him get him to the next level and get him some more rings.
Kevin Love is that third option.
And it's
paid
pretty damn
like a
good.
Superstar,
and he's
right?
playing like one.
And playing better. Do they have enough as they sit right now? In my opinion, between now and the postseason, they're missing a piece. Now, I'm not saying it has to be a superstar, but they're missing apiece. They had guys that could come in all the way down to Mo Williams last year. They had guys that had NBA playoff experience, guys that when you needed them and they called on their number, could step up and get you buckets or get a defensive stop, do what you needed to do. You know, you had a Mozgov in the middle when you could, wanted to go big, or you could go small. You could do a lot of different things. I don't think their bench has enough, whether it be the bench or that kind of in-between small forward. They've been starting the kid from Kentucky a lot. I'm not sure that's their answer. I still think they're missing a little something that needs to be tinkered with before the playoffs. What's your thoughts?
As long as they got Kyrie Irving and LeBron James, to me they're going to be fine. J.R. Smith, I think, is key. He needs to come back because he was making shots and playing better D last year. But those two guys are different makers. Those guys can impact the game in so many ways. They're super talented. I'm still getting over how Charles Barkley had Kyrie Irving at 25 ranked in the NBA. I'm still trying to get over that one, but that's a story for another day. Them two guys are special, and then playing in the Eastern Conference. Besides Toronto, LeBron got easy. He has an easy track to the finals.
No question.
You know, and I'm not taking nothing away from him. You know, the era I played in is Dominique one night, it's Ewing, it's Kevin Johnson and Chambers in Phoenix, Seattle, Dale Ellis, Xavier McDaniels. You go to Cleveland, Mark Price. You had so much parity and competition, you know, back in those days. And I don't think – I'm not taking nothing from LeBron. The competition now in the league is not as strong to me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, before we go to break, this is what I'm going to do. We're 2 hours in, 1 hour to go in this show.
Flying by.
And it is flying by because you're here with me, which I appreciate.
Let me give my boy George a shout-out. He keeps texting me, GB3, what's up, dog?
George is always great. He's shown up at our remotes before. I've known George for a long time.
Good
always
man.
Great. George, hello, what's up? Happy holidays. Here's the thing. We all know that I'm a Badger, and Wisconsin's in the Cotton Bowl. That game is drivable to Dallas. I got two tickets. I'm not going to use them. You guys can definitely use them. But you got to be present to win, and you got to get them. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. We got an hour left in the show. Between now and 4 o'clock, you either got to bring me something that has Mario Elie's number 17 on it from the Houston Rockets. You got to bring me something from the Western Michigan Broncos, which I really don't want. Or you have to bring me something from the Wisconsin Badgers. But one of those three things, if you bring me something from one of those three, two schools, or from Mario Elie's days with the Rockets, a 17 Rockets, any kind of paraphernalia, I'm going to give you two tickets
to
the Cotton Bowl. You can drive there on Monday. It's at noon. You can go Saturday night to Dallas when you're hungover. You can get in the car, waste some time. I mean, I'm giving you two tickets to the Cotton Bowl.
Is it at Jerry's World?
It is at Jerry's World.
Oh, okay.
All right? Ooh. So there's what we're going to do. Between now and 4 o'clock, you bring me something from the Badgers, something from Western Michigan, or something from Mario Elie and the Rockets, and we'll make sure that we put two tickets in your hands to go see the Cotton Bowl. Doesn't get any better than that, all because you listen to ESPN 97.5.
Yes, sir.
ESPN 97.5.